Chapter 37, in which it is shown that Phileas Fogg gained nothing by his tour around the world, unless it were happiness. Yes, Phileas Fogg in person. The reader will remember that at 8:05 in the evening, about 25 hours after the arrival of the travellers in London, Passepartout had been sent by his master to engage the services of the Reverend Samuel Wilson in a certain marriage ceremony which was to take place the next day. Passepartout went on his errand enchanted. He soon reached the clergyman's house, but found him not at home. Passepartout waited a good 20 minutes, and when he left the reverend's gentleman, it was 8:35. But in what a state he was! With his hair in disorder, and without his hat, he ran along the street as never man was seen to run before, overturning passers-by, rushing over the sidewalk like a waterspout. In 3 minutes he was in Savile Row again, and staggered back into Mr. Fogg's room. He could not speak. "What is the matter?" asked Mr. Fogg.
My master," gasped Passepartout. "Marriage, impossible."
"Impossible?"
"Impossible for tomorrow."
"Why, sir?"
"Because tomorrow is Sunday."
"Monday," replied Mr. Fogg.
"No, today is Saturday."
"Saturday? Impossible."
"Yes, yes, yes, yes," cried Passepartout. "You have made a mistake of 1 day. We arrived 24 hours ahead of time, but there are only 10 minutes left."
Passepartout had seized his master by the collar and was dragging him along with irresistible force. Phileas Fogg, thus kidnapped, without having time to think, left his house, jumped into a cab, promised £100 to the cabman, and, having run over 2 dogs and overturned 5 carriages, reached the Reform Club. The clock indicated 9:15 when he appeared in the great saloon. Phileas Fogg had accomplished the journey round the world in 80 days. Phileas Fogg had won his wager of £20,000. How was it that a man so exact and fastidious could have made this error of a day? How came he to think that he had arrived in London on Saturday, the 21st day of December, when it was really Friday, the 20th, the 79th day only from his departure? The cause of the error is very simple. Phileas Fogg had, without suspecting it, gained 1 day on his journey, and this merely because he had travelled constantly eastward. He would, on the contrary, have lost a day had he gone in the opposite direction, that is, westward. In journeying eastward, he had gone towards the sun, and the days therefore diminished for him as many times 4 minutes as he crossed degrees in this direction. There are 360 degrees on the circumference of the earth, and these 360 degrees multiplied by 4 minutes gives precisely 24 hours, that is, the day unconsciously gained. In other words, while Phileas Fogg, going eastward, saw the sun pass the meridian 80 times, his friends in London only saw it pass the meridian 79 times. This is why they awaited him at the Reform Club on Saturday, and not Sunday, as Mr. Fogg thought. And Passepartout's famous family watch, which had always kept London time, would have betrayed this fact if it had marked the days as well as the hours and the minutes. Phileas Fogg, then, had won the £20,000. But as he had spent nearly £19,000 on the way, the pecuniary gain was small. His object was, however, to be victorious, and not to win money. He divided the £1,000 that remained between Passepartout and the unfortunate Fix, against whom he cherished no grudge. He deducted, however, from Passepartout's share, the cost of the gas which had burned in his room for 1,920 hours, for the sake of regularity. That evening, Mr. Fogg, as tranquil and phlegmatic as ever, said to a widow, "Is our marriage still agreeable to you?"
"Mr. Fogg," replied she, "it is for me to ask that question. You were ruined, but now you are rich again."
"Pardon me, madame, my fortune belongs to you. If you had not suggested our marriage, my servant would not have gone to the Reverend Samuel Wilson's, I shouldn't have been apprised of my error, and—"
"Dear Mr. Fogg," said the young woman,
"Dear Awuda," replied Phileas Fogg. It need not be said that the marriage took place 48 hours after, and that Passepartout, glowing and dazzling, gave the bride away. Had he not saved her, and was he not entitled to this honour? The next day, as soon as it was light, Passepartout rapped vigorously at his master's door. Mr. Fogg opened it and asked, "What's the matter, Passepartout?"
"What is it, sir? Why, I've just this instant found out—"
"What?"
"That we might have made the tour of the world in only 78 days."
"No doubt," returned Mr. Fogg, "by not crossing India. But if I had not crossed India, I should not have saved Awuda. She would not have been my wife, and—" Mr. Fogg quietly shut the door. Phileas Fogg had won his wager, and had made his journey around the world in 80 days. To do this, he had employed every means of conveyance— steamers, railways, carriages, yachts, trading vessels, sledges, elephants. The eccentric gentleman had throughout displayed all his marvellous qualities of coolness and exactitude. But what then? What had he really gained by all this trouble? What had he brought back from this long and weary journey? Nothing, say you? Perhaps so. Nothing but a charming woman who, strange as it may appear, made him the happiest of men. Truly, would you not, for less than that, make the tour around the world?